It's to the book of Psalms, 127th Psalm. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 127th Psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the precious word of God. Thank you for your goodness and love to us. And Father, once again, I ask you tonight to empower me to preach. Father, help me to say the things I need to say. Lord, you give me wisdom to know what those are. And Father, I pray also that you'd give me clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, for a sweet, attentive spirit, a willingness to hear the blessed book, Word of God, and also in our hearts a willingness to follow it. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to bring a message which I've entitled, The Purpose of the Home. The Purpose of the Home. I realize every individual in this room is where they're at spiritually. You've grown down through the years. Some of you's been saved for a long time. Some of you's been saved not too long of a time. And you are where you are spiritually. You are and know what you know about the Bible up to this point. You cannot go back and change those facts. I remember after I got saved and after I began to learn some things, in fact, when I first was saved, in the first few years, sitting in a pew, I never heard a lot of preaching on the home. Didn't know a whole lot about raising a family. And just be very truthful, I didn't know a whole lot about it. And I don't think I know too much now. I just know that over the years I've learned what the Bible says, and I've tried very hard to put those things into practice. That's what I've tried to do. But as I never heard any preaching on the home. Not basic. Not until later on in years, and after I'd become a pastor, some of the conferences, once in a while, you'd hear some message on the home. John R. Rice done a lot of preaching on the home and things like that, and I heard some things begin to grow and begin to read books and of course, along with that, then study the Bible and see what the Word of God says about the home. So I guess that's why it's surprising to me that when young couples are building their homes that they wouldn't want to hear preaching on the home. That really surprises me, because I tell you what, I think back when I was raising my family, I'd have been just tickled to death to have somebody tell me how to do it, you know, what the Bible said about it. Because, you know, it's through the Word of God. It isn't just you pick up one page and read it and say, now there's how to do it. It's throughout the Word of God, and you got to gather it all together and teach principles and things that the Bible teaches. And so it's surprising to me that folk would not want to hear teachings on the home. And then so it helps them in their family. It's not for any other reason. I have no desire whatsoever to make anybody feel bad. You may think I do sometimes, but I don't. My whole desire is to help you. That's my whole desire. I want to help you raise your family God's way. I want to help teach you what God says to do about that. And I've been convinced for a long time the home is the secret. It is where the training for future generations take place. And so the home is such an important subject, and so important that we learn everything we can about it. I realize some of you know a lot about raising children and raising and running a home and all of that. I know some of you do, but probably you probably don't know it all. You're probably like this fellow. You probably don't know all there is to know about it. There's some things probably you could pick up that you can learn. And I've heard people tell me before, well, those days are past for me. No. They're not past for you, because you can help your children to teach them and train them, and you can be a grandma and a grandpa and a great-grandma and a great-grandpa and help and put some principles in their life that will be a help and a blessing. I've learned also the Bible tells us something in Psalms 119, 165, that great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. I've learned a long time ago that if we really love the law of God, we will not be offended by the word. Now, there is time. We preachers have to be careful that we do not offend because of ourselves. But the Word of God should never offend you, should never offend me. What God says about a subject should never, ever, ever offend us. If we love the law of God, it won't offend us. Amen. Now, it may hurt sometimes. Wow, have I been scalded with the Word of God. Man, I'm telling you, I felt like I've been cut all over, you know, like that double-edged sword went. Did you ever feel like that? I've been there. I've felt like that. Because the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's sharp. And I want you to know that when we teach the Bible, the Word of God, on subjects such as this, it is good for us. And it is proper for us to hear them and to learn them and to know what God says about it. And we ought not to be offended by what God says in His Word. Even if we're not doing it, we ought not to be offended by it, because we ought to learn and then do what God says. The word family is used 287 times in the Bible. If I did not miscount the word family or families, words that come from the word families used 287 times. That's a whole lot of times. The word household is used 68 times. And the word house, which in the Bible speaks many times of like the house of David, the house of Jacob, the house of Isaac, and is speaking about the household, is so numerous that I didn't even count them. I didn't take the time to count them. They're numerous times. God has a lot to say about the family. And He gives us illustrations down through the Word of God concerning families and family life and what makes a difference. I'm going to give you two quick illustrations. We've used these before. I don't remember exactly when, but I'm just going to give them to you real quickly. The illustration of a right kind of a family is found in the book of Joshua, when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, the determination by Joshua was that he made a decision that him and his family was going to serve the Lord. That is the right and proper kind of decision for a man to make. He should make that decision. He should determine that in his heart, and he should decide that him and his family are going to serve the Lord. No doubts about it. Amen? It ought to be a determination that is made. We also know in the book of Joshua that we also find a man by the name of Achan. You're familiar with this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You're familiar with Achan and his problems. He was the one that got his eyes off of God. Some people say, "Oh, Achan, he must have been a rat." Well, I want to tell you something. I don't think Achan was a rat. In fact, I think Achan probably was a very fine man. And the reason I say that, when they began to cast lots and try to find out who it was, the fault of why they were defeated at Ai, none of them said, "I know who that is. That's Achan." No, no, no. They did not say no such thing. And I think Achan probably was a man who was trying to do a good job in raising his family, trying to live right. Probably, you know, I'm sure he believed in God. I'm sure he didn't. But he got his eyes off of God. And he got his eyes on the materialistic world. And he began to look at the gold and the silver and the goodly Babylonian garment. And he stole them when he should not have, and he stole those things. And it's a good principle for us to think about. If we get our eyes off of God and the principles of God's Word, and we begin to put first of all in our life the things of this world and materialistic world, we're going to cause some problems, not only for ourselves, but for our family's life. You understand? Because we know, and you know, if you read all of that, I am not quite sure whether all of his family died when they took them there and stoned them and killed them there. I'm not quite sure, because there's some other scripture that seems to indicate maybe some of his children was still alive after that. I'm just not real sure, so I'm dumb on that thing. I just want to tell you, though, that it says that he took them out and stoned them. So there were some, more than one, that was stoned. And I'm saying to you this, that when an individual makes a decision to turn from God and put his eyes on the things of this world, not only him, but his family is going to be involved. Now, do you understand that? This is not funny business. This is truth. Your family is going to be involved. There's no doubt about it, okay? The decisions the daddy, and I'll say with it, the mama make, are going to determine what direction the family goes. It is right and proper to make the decision, as far as me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's a proper decision, and a decision every individual, every head of every family ought to make and be determined to do. Now let me say also to you that each man will decide that. You say, well, I don't think I'm come ready to make that decision. You already made it. You see, you will decide that. If you don't decide it, you're saying against it. Every individual will decide which way his family is going to go. Amen? That's just the truth. You know, do you know when you've heard of families, and honest to goodness, I am not right now, and I'm glad God didn't give me any, but I'm not thinking of a family's name right now, but haven't you heard families down through your life that's always just kind of had a bad name? They've just always just kind of had a bad name. They've just, well, where did all that start? That started somewhere back in generations where a mama and a daddy, and I'll say always, and I usually put the blame there, the daddy had decided, never made a decision that they're going to serve God. They're going to live right. They're going to do right. They never made that determination. And so things just got worse and worse. Now let me say something to you. I realize that a mommy and daddy can make that decision. And there can be problems, and certain their children can choose to go the opposite way. I know that that happens. I know, but I'm simply saying usually, if a mama and daddy will decide to lead their family right and determine that and head in the right direction, usually you don't find that family as a family with a bad name. But those who decide not to, I heard in the news just the other day, and it reminded me of this very fact where this man, you probably read about it or heard about it, this man was from another, it seemed like it was Argentina or something, and he was a murderer, and he's now being up for something over here. His mother was a prostitute. And he then grew to have a hatred for prostitutes. And so he has killed they don't know how many, and he now is in America, made his way to America, and they think he's responsible for killing some prostitutes over here in America. Now you go back and you think, what if mama had made another decision away back there and decided to be a godly person? Do you think that that man would still have those things? I don't. So I'm saying to you, that's, I realize, extremes. But I'm also saying to you, every person will decide which way their family is going to go. Now, as I said, listen very carefully. You can't help where you've been. You got to go from where you are. And it isn't a matter of anybody looking down on anybody. If I could look back in my life, there is so many things that I wish I had of known. And I'm serious about that. I grew up, as I told you, I wasn't hear much preaching. But I grew up in a good family as far as morals was concerned. My daddy and mommy believed in good morals and all of those things. But there is so much about family life that I just didn't know. And there is so much that I could have helped my children with if I had known more at an early age. Now, I'm not complaining or griping. I'm stating fact. Okay? So I'm saying all of us, or most of us anyway, some of us that, you know, got saved a little later in life and all of that, You just things you didn't know. Okay? And it's not a matter of looking down on anybody or saying that. It's a matter is what we're saying is, let's go from where we are. Let's do the best from where we are now. Let's don't just leave it there and say, oh, well, everything's lost. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Where God is, there's always hope. Amen? And so that's what we've got to look at. Now, tonight I want to bring three different things, the purpose of the home. Now, the first purpose we'll find over in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. I want you to turn over there with me. First chapter. And I'll start reading at verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth up on the earth. Now, there is more than three things I am confident for purposes for the home and marriage. But I want to dwell upon these three tonight. I believe personally, and we will touch on that lightly, but I believe personally the main purpose that God made all of us is to glorify His name. That is a scriptural truth. It's a principle taught in the Word of God. That is the principle, the reason God made you and the reason He made me was to bring honor and glory to Him. Okay? Now, but tonight, I want to say and show you in verse number 28 that the first purpose we want to deal with is for the home is to have children. If you will notice, it says that God said in verse 28, He says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The word replenish means simply this, fill it up. That's what it means. Fill it up. God said, multiply and replenish the earth. In other words, you multiply and you fill up the earth. Now, God's purpose was that homes would have children. Now, listen to me. Please be careful. You say, Brother Ross, there are some people that can't have children. I realize that. That's God's business. I don't interfere with God's business. Some of the great people in the Bible, Sarah was not allowed to have a child until late in life. So I'm saying the normal reason that God brings two people together, one of the purposes is so that the earth will be filled up. Now, one of the great problems we have today is that Planned Parenthood comes along and says, oh no, you can't afford those children. Now, you know who they're really after? They're really after the Christian. They don't want the Christian to have children. God says He wants the Christian to have children. He wants them to reproduce so there'll be more of His children. He wants them to enjoy the eternity with Him. And I've heard so many things, and you've heard it too, and the thinking after a while seems logical. But, you know, we say such things as, well, you know, I wouldn't want to bring a child into this world at this time. Well, that's not what God says. I know the times are hard, and I know they're difficult. But, folks, God said replenish. God, one of God's purpose for the home is to have children. Now we say, oh, I wouldn't want to bring one in. You know what you're doing? You're cutting off an eternity for a child. You're cutting off the blessings of God. You bring that child into this world, you lead him right, you train him right, they get saved, and you realize that child is going to be in heaven forever. Now God's command is to replenish the earth, fill it up. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Genesis, verse number 1 and 2. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she said, bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. If you notice in verse number 1, it says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, folks, you must understand something. Children are from the Lord. They're from God. God gives them. They're a blessing. They are not a curse. They are a sweet, precious blessing from God Almighty. And if you'll notice here, with the first Adam and Eve here, she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She realized and understood that it was a gift from God Almighty. Now, I want to say this before I might forget it. God didn't give me the instructions on how many children you're supposed to have and how many children I'm supposed to have. He would tell me that, but He'd tell you. He would speak to you, but I'm not trying to talk about number. What I'm trying to do is try to get you to understand we do not determine number of children simply from some logical thinking or some idea that we have in our mind whether we can afford them or not. That is worldly thinking. That is not godly thinking. Folks, anything God orders, He pays for. And He has ordered children. Didn't He? and he pays for them. You've made it, haven't you? I mean, with your children. I tell you what, there was 9 altogether in my family, and you know what? We made it. I mean, I'm talking about 9 children. I'm not talking about mom and dad. We made it. What I'm saying is, we've got this mentality. We've heard Planned Parenthood so long that we've believed them. But God didn't say that. That's not what God said. Okay? I'm trying to get you to think scripturally and just think and look at it from God's standpoint. Will you just do that? Make your decision on what God would have for you and not what the world says or whether you think you can afford them or not or whether it's logical that it'd be good to bring them into this world or not. That's foolishness. Let's find out what God says to you. Okay? And mind God. Amen? That'd be better, don't you think? Sure it would. Now, back in Psalms 127, he says in verse number 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now, the word heritage speaks of his possession. He says, "Lo, children are a possession of the Lord." They really belong to him. He simply loans them to us to raise for him. Did you know that? Did you realize that first of all, those children are not ours, but they're God's? And he gives them to us as a fruit of the womb is the reward. He gives them to us as a reward and gives them there to loan to us to raise them up for him. But they're his possession. And if you'll keep in your mind and hearts and understand, those children, first of all, belong to God. Amen? And he gives them to us and loans them to us to raise for him. It changes the whole perspective on who children are and what a blessing they are. Listen, he says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." I'm not going to go into that verse of Scripture. We will probably do that later on in another message. But God does tells us there that they are arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. An arrow is something that has to be shaped and formed very carefully if it's going to go straight. Brother Bo Ackerman does hunting with Bo, and he knows if he had a crooked arrow, you wouldn't get many deer. That arrow has to be shaped very carefully. The feathers have to be placed on it very carefully, and you must then, when you pull it back to let it go, when it goes, it'll go straight if that arrow is a good arrow. God is saying that children are arrows in the hand of a mighty man to shape and to form, that one of these days when they're turned loose, they will go straight. Amen? Now God says they're his. And he says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." God says a man is happy, or a man ought to be. Let me say, a man, I'm not changing the Scriptures, I'm saying to us, we ought to mind the Word of God and be happy if our quiver is full. It's a good thing. It is a precious thing to have children. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to have children. They're a gift of God, his possession, that he has given unto us. And yet today, many times, children are considered a curse upon people. Well, they kind of hinder their lifestyle, you know. They can't do everything they want to do, you know, because they've got children and they have to take care of the children. Hogwash. Be thankful and grateful that you have them to raise. Amen? To raise. One of these days you'll have them raised. You'll never quit worrying about them. But one of these days you'll have them raised and they'll go out on their own and you're no longer responsible to raise them. But you sure never will quit being bothered about them, will you? Never will. Folks whose children are growing know what I'm saying is true. You never quit caring. You never quit loving them. You never quit worrying about them, praying for them. You just never quit. But in other words, God is just telling us that children are a heritage. There's something given by God to us. Let's remember that principle. One of the purposes of the home is for children to be born into that home. Now, secondly, the home is a place of teaching and training for the whole family. I want you to know something. The first time that we had a child, her name was Lori, and I went to that hospital and looked through that window and saw that little black-haired girl. And all at once that hit me. That is mine. I am her daddy. There has never, I don't believe, ever a feeling. I don't even know if my wife knows about this, but the awesomeness of that feeling that day when I looked in that window and said, I am her daddy. And I don't even know how to be a daddy. I didn't think I did. It's awesome. It's something that's just tremendous. And you know what it done? It changed me. And do you know most of the time when people have children, there's a change comes over them. How many times have I seen young couples, you know, carefree and all this, and all at once they have a child, and all at once they begin to look at things a little different. Wow. Amen. It cannot help but change you. And so not only does it become a training place for the children, it becomes a training place for the parents. You've got to grow up. You've got a child. You're not a baby anymore. You've got to start learning some things yourself. You've got to take responsibilities. Amen? And so it begins to change you as well as you're going to change your family and change your children and teach them and train them how to grow up. All at once, you've got to grow up. And a family will do that for you. And so God uses the family, the home, as a place of teaching and training for the whole family. I want to show you over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Sixth chapter, first verse. Now these are the commandments. Sixth chapter, first verse. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Now these are commandments, God says, that he's going to teach us that we might do. Do you understand that in scripture? It's something he wants us to do. Amen? He's commanded us to do them. It says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. First of all, he says, you need to fear God. Amen? We need to have a fear of God, a holy fear of God. He says, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Now, he commands us that we're to fear the Lord and keep the statutes, or keep the word of God, we would say today, to keep what God says. We know we do not get saved by keeping his word, but after we are saved, we ought to keep the commandments of God. And he says, not only that, your sons and your sons' sons. In other words, just because I'm a grandpa does not mean I'm done teaching. I realize the responsibility for my son's children and certainly for my daughter's children are not upon me to raise. That is not my responsibility, but I do have a responsibility to help teach them and to put things into them that are right and proper, that are godly. Amen? Godly things put into their life. It is right and proper for me to do that. But the only way we're going to do that, he says, let's take myself, if you will keep the commandments of God, if you will fear God, and then you can teach that to your sons, and their sons will teach it to their sons, and just right on down the line, and you can help continue to teach those things. But it'll never get started if we don't somewhere get it started where somebody is going to believe the Word of God and follow the commandments of God and fear God. Right? So God is saying to them, what you need to do is you need to fear God, keep His commandments, and then teach it right on down the line. Okay? Now he says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and ye may be increased mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. One of the things that he tells Israel that they ought to do is they ought to love the Lord the God, thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. One of the things we need to teach those that are under us, to teach our sons and sons' sons, is to love God with all their hearts. We need to teach them that. We need to instill that in them, that they need to love God above everything else. They need to love God. And he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. He didn't say just in their head, but in their heart. We've got to teach it in such a way that it becomes from the heart. You know what? Children know when things are fake. They know it. They'll pick up on it quicker than you can pick up on it. That's why I'm saying is, when we teach these things, they must come from the heart. We must have them in our heart to be able to teach them to their heart. Amen? And he says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He even says there, he says, you're to teach them to your children. In other words, talk about them when you get up. Talk about them through the day. Talk about them before you go to bed. Talk about them again in the morning. In other words, it's a continual teaching of the things of God that just must go on continually. Understand? See, it's never done. You just constantly teach and train your children. You constantly put things in them concerning the things of God. It's a process that does not stop. And then he says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And he's simply saying, and back then they even done those sometimes, would tie them on their hands and on their arms and put them out on the post of their house and everything. But I say to you, that should be the major thing in our life. The principles that we teach should come forth in our life. In the hands things that we do, and our feet where they go, and all of those things. You know, I've seen it down through the years, and I'm sure you have too. But we have such a thing in today's world that says, well, what's the matter with doing this? And what's the matter with doing this? And why isn't it all right to do this? And what is happening is we're asking the wrong questions. Why don't we say, would it please God if I did this? Would God be pleased? Would it be the best that I could be for Him if I did this? You understand? That's why the Word of God must determine where we go, what we say, how we act, all of those things. We must not walk a line and do just what we think we can get by with. We must walk over here and say, this would be best. Why? Because it'll bring honor and glory to God if we don't do this, or if we do this. You understand? We've got to make decisions that away. And he said, even on their house, write them on the post of their house. We ought to be able to go by a person's house and look at that house and say, so-and-so lives in there, and they're a Christian. I mean, amen? They're Christian folk. I mean, we ought to have our households ought to be knowing that there's Christians that live there. They may not agree with us, they may not all of that, but they know. Them folk are Christian. Understand? So God is saying to us, teach our children these things. From the very little up, teach them. Train them. As the Bible says in Ephesians 6, bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. The nurture of the Lord means reproof and discipline. The admonition means to train by words. And I notice, and I believe it's God's way of doing things, when they're smaller, you do a lot more spanking and discipline and setting on chairs and all this. And then as they grow, they begin to switch the other way. You do a lot more talking. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, instructions. Doesn't mean you still won't have to sometime discipline. But the thing ought to switch over. And they ought to be able to sit down, and you ought to be able to nurture, to admonish them through words and teachings. But you don't ever stop teaching. And God is telling us to bring them up. That means to bring them up through admonition and nurturing from the Lord. From little her on up, bring them up. Teach them. Train them.
train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it. The word train there does not mean you just tell them how to do it and forget it. Train means to set the example before them. Some of you men here have jobs where you've trained other people. You didn't just go sit on a stool and say, get to it. No, you got and showed them how to do it. Amen? I mean, you had to show them. You said, now look, this is the way we do it. And that's what God's talking about when he says, train them up. We've got to show them. We've got to train them. We've got to be an example for them. And the home is the training place and the teaching place for our family. God wants us to build character into our children. He doesn't want them to become characters. He wants them to have character. And sometimes they act like characters, don't they? But God's desire is for us to build character in our children. The word character there, if you look in the Webster Dictionary, says this. It's quality. It's an attribute. It's a pattern of behavior or a personality or a moral constitution or moral strength, self-discipline, fortitude, reputation. Those are some of the words that character speaks about. And God wants us to put character into our children. And that does not happen by saying, character, get in there. That's why God said, train them up. They will not learn character traits simply by telling them. They learn it two ways, by showing them, by example, and of course telling them, but basically by setting that example before them. If you want them to have character, then we must have character. I mean, correct? Would it do any good to try to teach a child how to have character, how to do something right, and you wasn't willing to do that? Well, you won't get very far. You see, you understand what I'm saying? And God wants us to put character in our children. And so there are some of the things that we have to learn. Well, you want your child to be an obedient child? I mean, really, do you? Come on, you're afraid to shake your head. Do you want your child to be an obedient child? Sure you do. Then you know what you have to do? You have to be an obedient child of God. I mean, amen? Do you understand that? All at once, you don't want them to be so obedient, do you? I mean, but in all seriousness, if you want to say, now look, you've got to obey, you better hear what I say, and they see you all the time not doing what God says, they're going to they're going to laugh up their sleeve at you. Teach your children first-time obedience, in all seriousness. Let me find one here real quick. Matthew, can I use you? Matthew's having trouble staying awake. Bless his heart. No, Matthew, you sit right there, but I want to use you, okay? Matthew, I'm going to make a statement. Matthew, when you get home, I want you to go out. Now, this is really his daddy giving him instructions. Go out and take out the trash. Now, what did I say to you? Okay. Do you understand what taking out the trash means? Okay. And you know how to do it? Okay. Now, folks, when a child is old enough to understand a order, something that is given to them, when they're old enough to do that, you don't have to tell them five times. And never should. One time is sufficient. As long as you know that they understood and they heard the order you gave them. Okay? That their mind wasn't over here in somewhere else and they didn't even hear you. And that happens too, don't it? But when you know they have heard the order that has been given to them, that is enough, that is sufficient. Now when you tell them again and again and again, all you're doing is letting them disobey. You need to teach them, first time, obedience. Okay? Now, if we're going to do that, then we have to learn first time obedience when God speaks to us. I mean, amen? And if we expect our children to do this, are we not to do it? Sure. We need to teach our children how to work. Now, I'm talking about some character traits. Do you know one of the greatest problems, honestly, that we have in today's world, and I'm serious about this, employers will tell you It's hard to find somebody that wants to work. They just don't want to work. They think the world owes them a living. And you know where that come from? That come from somewhere in the training of them children when they was growing up. They were not made to work and made to understand that that was something that they had to do. Nobody owed them a living. And I say to you young people today, nobody owes you a living. Amen? Nobody owes you that. We learn to work. And so because of that, moms, you're going to have to teach your children. You're going to have to teach your girls how to clean the house. You're going to have to teach them how to cook. You're going to have to teach them how to set the table. That doesn't just come naturally. You're going to have to teach them how to do those things. You're just going to have to teach them. And when they leave your home, they know how to clean the house. They know how to cook. They know how to wash clothes. They know how to set a table. They know those things that's going to be important to them down through life. They know how to do them. Why? Because you taught them. Daddies, we've got to teach our boys something. We've got to teach our boys how to work. We've got to teach them how to go out and mow the yard. We've got to teach them how to go out and clean up and pick up sticks and how to take out trash and do all of these things that they're supposed to do. We've got to teach them. Understand? It's something we must teach. We must train them. We need to teach them good habits. We need to teach a good bedtime is a certain time. Now, I realize there's always exceptions. But we need to say, look, there's a regular bedtime and there's a time to get up. I realize that there's times when people sleep in because they've gotten to bed late or something like that. That should not be the rule. We've got to teach them to get in bed early so they'll rise early. Amen? And we need to teach them that. And we need to put that down as a principle, because you know what that'll do? That'll carry all through their life. Now, some of you men who work second shift, you're saying, yeah, how do I do that? But, and again, I know, but I'm talking about on normal situations, you've got to teach your children not to be lazy heads. Lay around in bed until 10 or 11 o'clock. My goodness sakes alive, you've missed the most wonderful part of the day. I can get more done, honestly. I can get more done in the morning hours, the early morning hours. I can get more done than I can most of the day. Man, it comes afternoon, I'm done a lot of times. I'm just working on, I don't know what it is. You ever been there? You get more done in the morning hours, okay? And so I'm trying to say to you, teach him these good habits. Teach him cleanliness. Teach him that it is right to be clean. Teach him it is right to brush their teeth. A little boy is not going to go in the bathroom and say, oh boy, I got to go brush my teeth. There's no way in the world. No, he's going to do everything. But he has to understand he has to brush his teeth every day. Hopefully 3 times a day. Sometimes they can't, but at least twice, morning and night. Amen? I mean, those are just principles we need to teach them. We need to teach them to wash their hands and not leave it on the towel. Amen? I mean, I know you say, well, these are kind of... No, they're things, and you're going to add a lot of things to it. I'm trying to teach you that we need to put character in our children. Amen? We need to do that. Now, we also need to teach, and time's running fast, we need to teach them how to use money. I want to say something. This is one of the areas, and I'm not saying my children have that big problem now, but I'm saying I was not taught early in life, and I had to learn the very hard way. Again, I'm not complaining or griping. I have never complained and griped at my daddy or my mother. I thank God for them. But there was a lot of things my daddy didn't know. He'd done the best, I believe my daddy did, the best he knew what to do. He was doing it. I believe that. He grew up hard. He didn't have a daddy from 9 years old up. Had a stepdaddy. His daddy died when he was young. And then later on he had a stepdaddy. And so anyway, he didn't have a lot of things. And so he didn't know a lot of things. And so he didn't teach us a lot of things. And one of the things was money. I think one of the reasons was he never had much of it. And he just figured we'd probably follow in his footsteps, and we wouldn't either. And I don't know what it was. But anyway, all I know is we need to teach our young people, our young children. I wish I had it to do over again. I could train them and give them more understanding about money and help them plan some things. But I learned it the hard way myself. I learned it the hard way. I got so, we'll talk about it someday, but I got so deep in debt that it was so far over my head that I thought there was ever no hope. And you know, I wouldn't have got there if I would have understood some things. But I didn't. I'm not blaming anybody. I blame myself. I'm just simply saying I didn't know those things. But I heard it and learned it the hard way, and then I did get out of debt. And then God began to teach me through the Word of God. He taught me some wonderful principles of how to stay out of debt. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying so we need to teach our children that they must earn money. You get it the old-fashioned way, you earn it. You learn to earn money. You learn to work for your money. We need to teach them that that's the way you get money, you earn money. Not only that, we need to teach them to spend very wisely. We'll probably do a week or two on finances. But let me say to you, you need to learn to spend wisely. We a lot of times throw more money out in a week's time than is ever necessary that we'd ever have to spend, and we throw it away. And then we wonder why we don't have any. We don't have any, we can't pay our bills, can't do this or that, and we wonder why. Well, we've just blew it. We need to spend money very, very, very wisely. We need to also learn and teach them how to save. We need to be savers. And we also need to teach them how to be givers. We need to teach that from the very little of age, how to be a giver. How to give of that which God has given them. I'm not going to spend much more time on that. But we need to teach them courtesy at home. We need to teach them to learn how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. We need to learn to teach them that who goes through a door first. I know for brothers and sisters sometimes that's hard, but I want to tell you something. We need to teach our young boys that there's a proper way of doing things, and when a young lady is around or a lady is around, it's proper for them to step back and open the door. We do that here at school, don't we? Teachers have the boys step forward, open the door, and the rest of the students go on through, and then they open the next door for them. And that's a proper thing to teach the young children, right proper things. It's good for them to learn those things. They need to learn to teach them how to shake hands. Have you ever shook hands with a... Huh? You ever shake hands with a boy like that?
Yeah.
Oh, I just have something within me that just wants to grab that hand and go... Just squeeze it about off. You know. Need to teach those boys to stand up and look you in the eye. Shake hands with you. Grab a hand. I don't mean... Now, Greg, he tries to pull me over every time he shakes hands. He goes like this. You know, but he squeezes. I'm telling you, when you shook hands, Greg, you know you shook hands. Amen. And the other fellows here, I'm not talking, there is any boys around here that I know of that do that, but I'm just simply saying, look, when you shake hands with somebody, look them in the eye and shake hands with them. Teach them that character trait. Amen. Teach them those things. They're not going to learn it anywhere else, except from some preacher that's going to holler at them one of these days. Live at peace with others in the home. Don't allow fighting to go on. You say, Brother Ross, it's natural for brothers and sisters and stuff to fight. Yeah, they may get into some scuffles, but it should never last, and it should not be allowed to continue. Now, Bobby will testify that we never did allow. Now, they got in some good ones, but we never did allow, did we, for that to continue. We would not allow them to fight and bicker and fight. We stopped it. So they went out and played football, tackled each other, and got back at them that way, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, we did not allow fights to continue in our house. We would not allow that. We just wouldn't do it. We need to teach them how to get along with one another and respect others' possessions. And we need to teach them how to share things with one another. And we need to teach them how to forgive one another and say, I'm sorry and I'm wrong. Whew. Boy, that's a hard one. Did you ever try to teach your children how to say I'm sorry? Did you know that's one of the hardest things? It's even hard for a little child, and then they get a little older, and man, they don't want to say I'm sorry. They don't want to say I'm wrong. You know what? Most adults don't either. Most adults don't either. They don't want to ever say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm wrong about this. Amen? But we've got to teach them and train them that it is proper and right to be able to come up to someone and say, I am sorry. I apologize, or I am wrong. I'm wrong. I'm sorry I've done this. Not what somebody else done. Don't say I'm sorry, but just say I'm sorry. It's my fault. And I'm sorry I did that. Sorry I said that. We need to get in that habit. We need to teach our children how to do that. And so mom and dad must set the example for forgiveness and saying I'm sorry. If I never would go up to my wife and say I'm sorry or I was wrong about something, have that old attitude that I'm always right. That'd be a terrible thing. Terrible spirit would be in our household over that. I heard an illustration the other day. D.L. Moody came home one time from preaching, and he came home to his family, and his children had done some things they should not have done. I mean, they'd really pulled some goodies. And I guess he crawled all over them. I mean, he just crawled all over them, got all over them, and told them to get up and to their room, and they had to sit up there for the rest of the evening. I don't know. I mean, he just really just eat them alive. They said they were sitting up there in that room about half scared to death because they said our father was a great big man and said he had a booming voice and he liked to scare you to death. Said pretty soon we heard him coming up the stairs, clomp, clomp, clomp. Clomp, clomp, up the stairs, and they go, oh, no. He walked into that room, and he looked at those children, and he said, children, I want you to forgive me. I didn't handle that like Jesus would have. That's what he said to them. I didn't handle that like Jesus would. I want to tell you, you say, well, Brother Ross, that'd make me look, but no, they'd have more respect for you. They'd have more respect for you if we'd just say once in a while, I was wrong, I done this wrong, I'm sorry I done that. They'd have respect for you. You understand? So we got to train them in the home. I'm just going to give you this and quickly in closing. The third point is, the home is the place where Christ is made manifest. Throughout the Bible, God gives illustration of the home, the marriage, as an illustration of Jesus and His church. And folks, listen to me. The home is the place where Jesus Christ must be made manifest. When people see our actions in the home, it must be because that's the way Jesus would do it. Why? Because we're a Christian home. We're a Christian mom and dad. We're a Christian family. And we're doing our best to live the way Jesus would want us to live. And so through the home, through the family, is the place where Jesus Christ is honored and glorified. Amen? And I say to you, probably all of those things I've mentioned before, there's nothing more important than that which I've just mentioned. The home should be a place where Jesus is honored. And everything that is said and done in that home should be to glorify and honor Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Say, Brother Ross, I've got some things in my home that don't honor the Lord. Well, then why don't you just start by ridding your home of those things? Amen? There's none of us here perfect folk. But we can certainly do what God's Word says to do. Amen? Purpose of the home? To raise children. To have children. To train them. Teach them. And to manifest the wonderful glory of God in our home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness and kindness to us. And Father, I thank you again today that we can even have the privilege to come to you and pray and ask you, Father, the blessings of God be upon the families of this church. God, help us all to do right, to live like we should, manifest thy wonderful love in our homes. And Father, to teach and train, and Lord, as God gives us children, that wonderful privilege that we will do right and we'll train them the very best we can according to the Bible, not our standards, but the Bible. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name.